NFL is the best.
Presented by Finley Roofing.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. And by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Let's go around the yard with Grant McCauley. It's Dukes and Bell. Grant, is this a game in which you feel like Bryce Elder can build upon? I mean, last night, Mike said it. He got a little nervous in the service when you go, uh-oh, three-run home run, and then he goes six innings. Is this something he can build on?
Yeah, I mean, a place like Coors Field, and trust me, and we talked about this yesterday, everybody knows that the Rockies are one of the worst teams in baseball, but that is just a ballpark where an inning can get away from you, and all of a sudden, it has ruined your night as a pitcher. Now, you may enjoy being a hitter there, but I don't think it's as much fun for pitchers, and that's been the story pretty much since it opened, I believe, 30 years ago this week. So putting that aside, you look at what he did against the Cardinals in a more neutral setting at Truist Park, and then you see what he did against the Rockies. The only thing that really concerns me about Bryce Elder that doesn't necessarily portend well for his success moving forward is he doesn't really get enough swing and miss to, I think, replicate this start over start over start. He's averaging just under six strikeouts per nine. Usually you would see a starting pitcher that's pushing 7.5, 8, maybe more for the guys that start to really pile up that swing and miss. But we know what Bryce Elder is, and I think more importantly, maybe, we know what Bryce Elder isn't. So if you guard your expectations, this is a guy who could help out as that fifth or sixth starter. But elevating him anything beyond that, I think, would be a mistake at this point. But it doesn't mean he can't be useful and play a role right now.
Right. Grant, I just wish you'd be more positive about Bryce Elder. Jeez, you're so negative. I'm kidding.
That's, I do what I can.
That's usually me. I'm being a Weisenheimer. But no, I just, you nailed it. But I thought that was a gritty performance. Look, it's a four-win team. It's clearly the worst team in baseball. And,
yeah.
And good for the Braves to make some hay on this deal. You know, I'm loving Verdugo, man. I know. Can he sustain this? Because this is the kind of guy, until Acuna gets here, and when Acuna does get here, I want him in left field, right, or wherever you want to put him.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And when they picked him up, I mean, I looked at it as, this is an interesting sign because, yeah, he was, you know, had an off year last year for the Yankees. But, you know, if you look at the, 5 years, I believe, before that, he was pretty much a 280 hitter with 25 to 30 doubles, 12 homers, 50 runs knocked in, a 340 on base, a 750 plus OPS. I mean, I just threw a lot of numbers at you, but all of them are good. That's a guy that can definitely contribute for you. So if he's that player or anything close to that, which he has shown through his plate discipline, through his ability to spray the ball all over the ballpark, to knock in some big runs, to run the bases well, I think he's got a good arm. And this is just, there's a lot to like about this. And it wasn't plan A, certainly. The Jerkson Profar thing, you know, they're going to have to unpack that again later in the season. But for right now, as far as an option to come up and really help you out and put a major league quality player on the field, Alex Verdugo is checking all the boxes.
Here comes Money Harris. Michael Money Harris, man. I mean, look, he the you know, tie-breaking double last night in the fifth. I just feel like, you know, we've been talking about a lot of these other guys. Tell me what you think about where he's at right now.
Yeah, really, last 10, 12 games, Carl, Michael Harris has just sorted it out. I think I talked about how his strikeouts have been cut down drastically, and none was a brighter light shined on it than that finale against the Toronto Blue Jays when he went up four times and got punched out four times. And then it just seemed like he got home in that Minnesota series, started to get things right, maybe made some swing adjustments. I just feel like his plate coverage is better, and he's making better decisions. And that, I think, is probably something that we can look at a lot of different Braves over the first week or 10 days of the year and what we've seen over the last 10 days, 2 weeks, maybe a little bit more, as an offense that started to kind of wake up or at least get back to what it is that makes them successful. Michael Harris right smack dab in the middle of that. He's had some big runs knocked in. He's running the bases a little bit, which I think would make Morning Shift's Mike Johnson very happy because he's been asking me, he's been on me for months about when are the Braves going to run some more, and Harris is a guy who can do that. So we'll see if that becomes a little bit of a part of his game. Brian Snitker did talk about that on the homestand and said, I'll give him the green light. He can go whenever he feels like it's appropriate. We're not going to stop him, but it doesn't mean he's going to run wild the way Acuna did a couple of years ago.
I'm Mike Bell, and I approve Mike Johnson's message. I've been asking. That's a big part of our game. And speaking of which, I know I've asked you for weeks, but now it really seems like it's getting close. When is Ronald coming back?
Yeah, I think we're in that week where I'm expecting any day now for there to be an announcement about a rehab assignment. I think he'll start at one of the lower levels. I would assume it could be Rome. Might be Columbus if they want to go ahead and put him at the AA and then just bump him right to AAA. I think at least 10 days, if not a little bit more, would probably be the most prudent thing for him, because you're going to want to ease him in, get him regular work in the outfield, monitor his days off here and there, then start playing him in back-to-back games and just build him up as though he were playing the first 2 to 3 weeks of spring training, but knowing that he has been able to spend the last 2 months really, really swinging the bat a lot. So that part, I think, may not take as long, but you just want to see how his body responds to being out there for the full nine innings and doing it day after day after day. So to make a long story as short as I can, soon, Mike. I think the answer is soon.
Yeah, that's good news. We're talking with Grant McCauley, guys, here going around the yard. Braves, Rockies tonight. What's the situation with our starter tonight?
A.J. Smith-Shawver is back from AAA Gwinnett. I think a lot of people, just based on the feedback that I got, were kind of wondering, well, why did we option him down? It seemed like he kind of sorted some stuff out in his last start against the Tampa Bay Rays on that road trip, and I would agree with that. And obviously Bryce Elder has been able to, you know, hold up his end of the bargain, but it was really, I think, anticipating, you know, having to make a few moves around the Braves being in a position where their bullpen and some of their starters, they just don't have guys with options that they can regularly send to the minors. So if you are that guy who can be sent down and you've already thrown, you might find yourself heading back down to the minors. The bummer for that is, no pun intended, because there is a pitcher named Bummer on the staff, but the bummer for that is if you go down, you have to stay down 15 days unless somebody goes on the IL and you're the corresponding move. So a lot of chess as far as the roster maneuvering is concerned, and we saw it today. Ian Anderson came in yesterday and is gone today as far as the DFA is concerned, but I'm wondering if maybe they might try to sneak him through waivers and get him back down to AAA Gwinnett and do some more work with him. But A.J., big arm. Colorado is going to be an interesting challenge for a young pitcher who has been homer-prone at times. He's just going to have to be, I think, very precise with what he's doing and avoid the two-out trouble. That's really been the number one problem for him this year. It's like he gets those first two, and then all of a sudden it's a walk, it's a bloop single, it's a double, then it's maybe a homer, and an inning has just woefully gotten away from him. So some damage control would certainly be helpful.
Our man Grant McCauley, guys, talking about the Braves. We had Brett Boone on earlier today, former All-Star. And, you know, it's one thing where the Phillies really haven't hit their stride yet. The Braves, we already know that, hey, if we can come out of April after being so lost in the weeds and maybe at 500, feel like the worm is turning with Ronald coming back. But the Mets, I mean, they look like they're built for the long haul, Grant, because they're doing it, you know, with some really clutch hitting. You know, Nemo finally came out of his slump, but the pitching has been really impressive. And they've had some injuries, too.
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say this, just based on the Mets, and I talked about this a lot back in spring training where people are like, well, they can't really be that good. I'm like, well, they were kind of dead and buried in May last year and made it to the postseason and very nearly kept the Braves from getting to the postseason. So I would not overlook this club. Pete Alonso has really been the big, I don't want to say acquisition because they just re-signed him, but it looked like for a minute he might be gone. He's having a monster year, a career year across the board. Juan Soto's been kind of middling. I'm sure that could change at the drop of a hat because that's who he is. But they have overcome their pitching injuries, and they are winning. Even though I don't think they've faced the teeth of their schedule yet, they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do against the teams they should beat, and that's a big deal. So putting all that aside, some late breaking news this afternoon. Former Braves reliever A.J. Minter, who signed with the Mets over the offseason, may be done for the year. He was placed on the injured list and may have to undergo a surgery that could cost him the rest of 2025.
Wow.
Hate to see that. You never root for an injury for anybody, even on the opposing team. But for A.J., one of the true good guys in baseball, hate to see that. And hopefully he's able to get back on a mound.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, you don't know how that plays out, if he's here or with us or not. But, right. Yeah, man, no doubt he was one of our faves and while he was a Brave. It's Grant McCauley, guys, as we talk Braves baseball tonight. It's Rockies, win another series. And all of a sudden, I said this earlier to Brett Boone, you know, we've won 8 of our last 10 after starting, 5-13? And you go, okay, now we're moving in the right direction. And again, I still don't think we've hit our stride, but you keep talking about the guys that are coming back. That's the positive thing that we can look towards, right? Even if you say, all right, we should be beating the snot out of these guys. The Rockies are no good. I'll take a win however we can get it right now. But that's the other side of this is coming soon. And once that happens, what's this look like?
Yeah, we saw over the last couple of years, I mean, you're going to run into a series that you should have won at some point. Last year was the White Sox, I believe, and Chris Sale losing that 1-0 game. That was about as bad as it got. And then a couple of years ago, it was the Oakland Athletics, who were just absolutely dreadful, and the Braves went out to Oakland and lost a series there. So weird things do happen. You can't overlook anybody. You should, you know, take advantage of where you are in the schedule. And if you keep winning series, obviously that, as they say, will play. But there's been no hotter team in the National League than the Braves, other than the New York Mets. We're talking about the two teams that are winning at the highest clip over the last really couple of weeks. So the Braves are certainly doing what they can. I talked about damage control earlier to make sure they don't sink too far in the standings. And then the next thing you know, we'll have Sal Licata saying that the NL East is over.
It's over.
Have to go on another run again. It's right. Over. But yeah, there's a lot of baseball left to be played. And the Braves, I think, are finally starting to get some of the guys going that they need to. And then you start to really anticipate, really get excited about Ronald Acuna Jr. And Spencer Strider hopefully doesn't have to sit around too long with this hamstring issue. Then the Braves are looking like a different team, to say the very least, once you add a couple of players like that back to the mix.
More Falcons and draft talk coming up here on Dukes and Bell. Just wrapping with Grant. We mentioned this to Brett Boone. Schwellenbach, he's been touched up a little bit, and Sale, we understand, he's going to have to make some adjustments. What is Kranitz doing with these guys, and how do you help Schwellenbach from falling into that trap where other Braves pitchers have popped and then it seems like they're getting figured out?
Yeah, I don't know that there's really anything that he needs to change as far as wholesale is concerned. It's just you start to find, the tendencies of, we talk about what could Rick Kranitz be doing? What are they looking at? They're watching tape. They're making plans. He's working with the catchers and all the scheme that they can come up with for that given day's opponent. Then you have to realize on the other side of the stadium, there's a team sitting over there at a video board doing the exact same thing, trying to figure him out every time. So I think for somebody with as good an arsenal as Spencer Schwellenbach has, it may just be starting to pitch a little backwards, changing some of the way he sequences. Sean Murphy will certainly have to be involved in that. Drake Baldwin would be involved in that. But really, for the pitching coach, I think as much as anything, it's helping guys stay the course, helping them not get lost when they're, going through the tough times, and helping them not become complacent when things are going really well. Not that I think the Braves have a bunch of complacent guys, but, right. When it comes easy, it's just a different thing than when you're really having to go through it. So all of that's part of Major League life. Spencer Schwellenbach, even though he has pitched, I think, beyond his years in terms of his overall baseball IQ, he's like anybody else, young player, still getting established just now with, 30 starts at the big league level. So still some things to learn, some adjustments to make, but he's got the kind of arm and the kind of repertoire, I think, that really speaks to him being able to figure it out and get through times like this.
Great stuff, Grant. We will talk to you tomorrow. Hopefully we can wrap this thing up tonight and have another good game. And we'll be talking with you all about it tomorrow. Thanks so much.
All right. Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, no doubt.